I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts. All right, before we get into the sports topic, I do want to get into this. Good idea or bad idea? Mac, you were the most recent to leave high school. Now it's been 20 years or 10 years.
Yeah.
So this comes from Wyandotte High School. You hear about this? We've established a two-step procedure. Golford said our administrative team will manage collections of cell phones at entry and dismissal.
Oh, that's not. That's a state. Everybody in the
Everybody
state.
Everybody in the state of Kansas?
Yeah. They're gone this
they
year.
No cell phone lockers.
Yeah. They're banned. So, yep.
Good idea, bad idea?
Okay.
I think bad idea.
So
when you walk into school, give me your cell phone, and then your cell phone has a locker slot that you put it in there.
I don't know if anybody's doing the locker, but the phones are banned in school, and if you get caught with them, you're screwed. Like, the kids have already come home. They're like, I don't know, like, how we're going to do this and how it's going to be effective, because, you know, a couple of things that the kids did bring up to me that I think do make a lot of sense is, like, our sports teams communicate with us via text message all day. Our coaches are texting us and letting us know if practice has been moved, if game times changes. Like, that's a line of communication that the kids have with a lot of their teachers. And I don't want to even say it's a lifeline to, you know, to mom and dad. We all went to school and didn't have cell phones and did just fine. So I definitely see both sides of it. What I would do, I think there's going to need to be a compromise. And I think if you're in K through 8, you don't need your phone at school. But once you get into high school, you ban the phones in the classroom, but you're allowed to have it at lunch and in the passing periods, because you're not even allowed to have it out at lunch anymore. And if they see that phone, they will confiscate that phone, even if it is at lunch or in a passing period. I guess you got to go drop a deuce now, maybe, if you want to look at your phone or something like that if you're in high school. But there has to be a happy medium and a compromise, because I do think if coaches and teachers are communicating with students via text message, you got to be able to find a way to kind of get in touch with them that way. So I think in high school, you should be able to have it, but only during passing and only during your lunch period or your advisory or whatever it is, where you're not in a classroom setting. They should be banned in the actual classroom when learning's going on. But when you're out in the hallway and you got your free period, yeah, you should be able to use that if you're in high school. That's just my take on that.
Somebody says, I work for a school district. My district is not enforcing it. Somebody says, I love this. And then somebody says, I'm a parent and I don't like the cell phone thing. My only issue is, and I know that I'm using a minute issue here, is that, like, what if something is an emergency?
Well,
and I know people would say they would just call the school.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't buy that one, because we all went to school without cell phones and had emergencies all the time. They call the school. They say, Bobby Fesco, you need to come to the office. Your mommy's on the phone. And so you walk down to the office. What's going on? Hey, don't forget to make sure you put your pants on. Thanks, Mom. You know, whatever it is. So I don't think they're needed at all in school. I really don't. I think we've allowed ourselves to get to a point where we believe that cell phones are needed in school. But I don't have a problem with them being out during the 3 or 4 minutes that you're passing, or the 30 minutes that they give you these days for lunch.
Speaking of cell phones, it was cool to see Jim Tomey on his cell phone coming out of the cornstalk last night at Field of Dreams. Of course, I asked Alex Gold, which I should have known. Goldie! Did you watch that Field of Dreams game last night?
No, I didn't watch any of it. I'm so over baseball.
Okay.
Because we've done the Field of Dreams thing before. It's cool.
What's he going to say next year when the Royals are up there, though? Is he going to have that same attitude?
It was, like, awesome. It was cool when Kevin Costner did it. And now everybody does it. I'm like, okay.
Oh, so I will move on from that conversation.
Jesus.
So that is.
I thought it was great.
So that's the perfect segue to this conversation. Like, is that something that you want to see more of, and not just baseball, but in football? Because we talked about it earlier. Like, how can you implicate that into the NFL? And somebody had a great idea to put the game at the little Giants field.
Yeah. O'Shea Stadium. Yeah. He's like, yeah, put it there.
Look, they put names on the jersey, so the guys at the morgue can identify the bodies.
That's right.
But no, I think it is great, because in that moment last night, I didn't care that the Twins or the Phillies were playing. I thought that was magical. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. Now, here I am, a heavily biased person towards baseball. More of that, please, once a year,
and make it a deal.
Yeah.
Now, I understand there's going to be people that are pissed that it was on Netflix and that it wasn't on, like, Fox, whatever, local television. Maybe we can figure that out someday. But again, we now live in a world where streaming devices are huge and the bidding war is going to start. And Netflix does this all the time. They take opening day. They took this game. They're going to take that home run
derby.
They had home run derby.
You do know where the ALCS is this year, right?
Netflix.
Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. So
close, but yeah, Amazon streaming.
But I found it last night in the middle of the dog days of summer where there's a lot of people that are just completely tired on baseball. Mm-hmm. That was something that I thought maybe gave you a reason to wake up and watch a game, even if it was Philadelphia versus Minnesota, because in the first at bat of the game, Kyle Schwarber takes one deep and it just goes up, 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 and then disappeared into the stop.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I think it's fantastic. And, you know, I love that style of baseball, the old school baseball, until analytics screwed the game and ruined it for us all. But I absolutely love the Field of Dreams game. It's nostalgia. It's fun. It's father-son type of stuff. And, you know, everybody, I think, would love that. It always pulls at your heartstrings. To have the Field of Dreams music playing and all of those guys emerging from the cornfield, first the two teams coming out in kind of old school uniforms, and then you have the 26 Hall of Famers that were there walk out. I thought it was wonderful. I mean, baseball does so good at pulling on the heartstrings, and then Roger and Cody Clemens having a catch after the game was over was kind of cool
Cody
as well.
There?
Yeah. So I loved it, man. I think if you didn't like the Field of Dreams game, I hate to be this guy, like, look in the mirror. What's wrong with you? Because that was everything that was good and fun about sports. I love the Field of Dreams game.
I didn't hate it. I didn't. Now, again, I know baseball doesn't do it for everybody, but if you could do that in football where maybe preseason games were on a high school field, or let's say that, you know, you find some sort of, because so much talent has been groomed in Texas for high school football. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a couple of quarterbacks that could play, you know, one of the preseason games, and you could put them on their high school football field. Like back in.
Oh, that would be fun too. Yeah.
You know, like maybe there's another player that came out of Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
And it's like Mahomes and said player, and they play on, you know, Tyler's field.
Yeah.
Right. That'd be kind of cool. Or, you know, there's somewhere in Oklahoma, or maybe Jerry Jones can expand the game and say, hey, you know what? I own the Arkansas Razorback Stadium. We had a texter say this earlier. I'm biased towards Arkansas, but have the Chiefs and Cowboys play at Arkansas's field.
Yep. Great.
I don't know how many people fit in Razorback Stadium.
About 80,000.
I think you'd sell that out immediately, and you'd see that sort of different view, because I think it's always interesting when, like, even when you're a kid, you go to hotels, right? Like, oh, this is awesome. It's a room with two beds.
I had a buddy tell me all the time. Yeah, I had a buddy tell me that when I first had the kids, he goes, do not spend money on vacations. Go to the Hampton Inn in Independence. They have a pool. The kids will love it. And to your point, it's true. The hotel is great. It's neat. It's new. It's something that's different. And so that's the way it was last night. It was just fun. And to have that
Barry
nostalgia.
Bonds, yeah. Molly Fingers, Jim Tomey, Joe Torre.
All those
guys. LaRusso is
Mike
there.
Mike Schmidt. Steve Carlton, La Russa, like, I mean, it was just guy after guy, and you're like, man, all the legends of this game are here. I also find it funny that Major League Baseball now has Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez, all of these guys, Tomy, all of these guys that were, you know, in the era, you know, of steroids that they don't want to let into the Hall of Fame, but they're all out here doing their thing, you know, with A-Rod not being allowed in, Roger not being allowed in, Bonds obviously not being allowed in, but Major League Baseball doesn't shy away from those guys being the faces now of their broadcast, because we're getting to that point where guys like Dusty and I watch these guys play. How do you relate? You have the guys that used to play on the set, and that's what they're doing. And so I look at that and I'm like, man, it is wild to see that they have Bonds and Clemens, the two biggest faces of the steroid era, and A-Rod leading all of their coverage, but yet we can't get them into the Hall of Fame.
So breaking news, there's a new store that's been rebranded. Five Below, out of the respect of Jaden Daniels, is now going to be called 499 Below. Fancast Friday, we give you a chance next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, it is that fantastic Friday opportunity for you to win some dough. Fan Cash Fridays are powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest growing sportsbook. Be the 10th caller right now on the 96.5 The Fan contest line at 913-586-7965 for your chance to win $100 in Fan Cash from Fanatics Sportsbook every single Friday at 9:20. Winning hits different here, so be caller number 10. 10 right now at 913-586-7965.
Call.
Is that the bird kid that announced the schedule for the Atlanta Hawks? Did you see that? That is one of the greatest things I've ever seen somebody use for a social media superstar overnight. Not sure anybody else saw this, but the bird call kid that went viral over the summer, I guess, at a talent show. Yeah, the Atlanta Hawks said, how about you just do all the teams that are on the schedule and what the bird is from their place? It's awesome. I mean, I think it's great that they did that. But preseason football starts tomorrow for the Kansas City Chiefs. It started last night for the NFL as there was like 9 games on last night?
Seemed like it. There were, I think, about 6 games or something last night. There was a lot. Maybe it was more. I don't know. I think, I don't know. Maybe there were about 6 games. Either way, there were a lot last night. There'll be a lot tonight, too.
Yeah, so last night, I guess they don't have it anymore. That's weird. Oh, yeah, they do. They're all completed. So last night, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games.
6 games.
Yeah, tonight, obviously, you get more. You get the Broncos and the Falcons, the Bucks and the Jets, the Dolphins and the Commanders. The Jets and Bucks game is on NFL Network. Ooh. I'm kind of intrigued to see what those Jets players look like that they drafted.
I am too. Yeah, the Jets will be kind of interesting this year. I think that's going to be a team that by the time the season is over, people are like, damn, Jets in 27 are going to be pretty darn good. They still need to find a quarterback there, though. I mean, the same thing.
Geno.
Yeah, right. Same thing with Arizona. You know, they've got some great playmakers, you know, with the tight end, with their wide receiver, with their running back now, and they don't have a quarterback. You know, it's like, come on, man, you've got all these good pieces. Now you need to get that guy who can get them, you know, the football. And so that's kind of where I am with the Jets right now. I think they got a lot of really good pieces. They had a lot of really good draft picks. I think they're going to be good from an offensive standpoint. And now it's going to start being a kind of a work in progress. And I think we'll know too, if Aaron Glenn is ready to be part of this rebuild this year as well. I think there's a lot of riding on Aaron Glenn this year to make sure he's the right guy to kind of shepherd this team forward at the Jets. But I think they're going to be better than people think this year.
I think there's also a chance that you're going to see some players in this game when it comes to the preseason game on Saturday, because it's, we watch for rookies, right? That's what we watch for. And you know, that's what it all matters. You know, like you say, meaningless. It's meaningless for the winner and the loser. It doesn't mean anything there, but it is a pretty meaningful game when it comes to what Peter Woods can show, what Cyrus Allen can show, what these guys can, even Justin Fields, because his first time on a field at St. Joe, everybody's like, oh no, he's still the same. Now we're going to see more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think there's some obviously opportunity for a lot of the young guys. Like if you're a player, yeah, you don't say it's a meaningless preseason all. Bob Fesco can sit here and say it all he wants. For me, you know, it's meaningless. But for those players, this is an opportunity for a lot of these guys. I always feel bad for like the guy who got cut yesterday because Agba was brought in, right? Mm-hmm. Like he didn't even get that opportunity to go out there and show what he could do in a game, maybe get a look from somewhere else. But I mean, those are the breaks of kind of playing in the NFL. But no, if you're a fringe guy, these are the opportunities you have. You're not just playing to potentially make the Chiefs at this point in time. You're playing, obviously, to get your name known. And so other people can potentially pick you up. All right, Mark, you're our big winner in our Fan Cash Fridays. We do it every Friday. Congratulations, Mark, on winning this contest.
Guys.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good.
Well, you won the fan cash. What do you want to spend your money on, your big winnings? Let's pretend it was $1 billion.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I guess we didn't have any luck last night with that, but hopefully this Fanatics cash is going to do me some good.
Yeah, there you go. Mark, we appreciate it. Have a great season with the Chiefs, my man.
Mark, I've got one more question. If you won $5, would you get rid of one of them to have $4 for Jaden Daniels?
Oh, I need a cold beer to think that one over.
Hey, it's 4 o'clock somewhere, Mark.
It is, man.
Cheers, brother.
$4 beers everywhere. Way to go, Mark. Fan Cash Fridays are powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest growing sportsbook. We'll do this every single Friday at 9:20 and give away Fanatics cash here on 96.5 The Fan.
Perfect. So obviously, don't expect to see Ken Walker, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce.
I love Chris Jones' comments yesterday about preseason. Yeah. I'll play when the other number ones play.
Which is great because that means basically that Andy Reid has let them know none of you are playing.
Well, didn't he say something of the fact that like the Rams aren't bringing anybody either?
I'm interested to know if they make the flight.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like if they make the trip, I don't know.
I think it's going to be interesting to see. I should have asked Kling that we had him on earlier what the sideline will look like, because I don't think Puka's coming.
How could he? Didn't he just get cut in the face or something?
It ran through glass at a Fanatics party.
Yeah. And, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah.
And then I think where we look at preseason, I know that their sideline might be bleak because, like, why would you fly halfway across the country for a game?
Well, and you think about how many people you got to fly and travel to in a preseason game. Kling always says the sidelines during preseason games are a disaster area.
Hell yeah.
Because it's double the amount of players for the most part that are down there. You go from 48 on game day to 90. So the sidelines are an utter disaster.
Just covered in smelling salts.
Yeah. Insane. It's insane the amount of smelling salts that go on during a game.
Was that last year's debate?
That was last year.
That was last year?
Or maybe it was 2 years ago.
I don't know, because I remember we sent Mac there to see if there was any down there when they played Philadelphia in a regular season game. Yep. He was like, dude, it looked like it snowed.
I never saw it before until I did the Houston Texan playoff game on the field, and we were down
there.
Do
velos?
Nobody even knew. There wasn't velos in 2014, 2015, whatever year that was.
Should have been.
It was just smelling salts everywhere. I'm like, my God, thousands of these things it was on the Houston sideline at that time. But I mean, it was insane the amount of smelling. What were we talking about? Kling. Sidelines. Yeah, talk to him on Saturday after the game. Go, what's it like down there with 90 players down there? So to Dusty's point, yeah, like if you're the Rams, Puka, Stafford,
Kyron,
Miles Garrett, Devontae Adams,
I mean, hanging out in his Taco Bell basement.
Yeah, like anybody who's anybody on that team, there's really no reason for them to bring them here to Kansas City and just kind of, you know, make them, first of all, stand at Arrowhead at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in 100 degrees, but also just to clog that sidelines up too. I mean, there's double the amount of players down there. It's a mess.
Somebody says that the if they won the money on the Fanatics cash, they'd spend the cash on 1/8 of a Bills ticket. The Jaden Daniels jersey thing is equivalent to Cody finally winning a hot dog derby race while wearing the ketchup suit and saying nobody can ever wear ketchup again. And then the other one, this is great. I have to applaud the Chiefs for taking off week 5 for their year just for Jaden Daniels.
That's good.
Just keeps getting better. But again, we go to preseason conversations that get played at Arrowhead this Saturday at 3 o'clock. And I think a lot of eyes will be on 99 and 13. And this former wide receiver in the NFL, Steve Smith, had this to say about Cyrus Allen.
Cyrus Allen is going to be eventually, in my humble opinion, their number one wide receiver. Because here's why. Their quarterback has been wanting a guy like Cyrus Allen, who has the ability to run in the intermediate. Xavier Worthy's right here. Rashee Rice is right here. And they got somebody in middle that they need, and that's Cyrus Allen.
So there's your underneath guy. Yep. Is Cyrus Allen the Sammy Watkins that Mahomes has much needed over the last few years?
Well, maybe. That's I don't know if he's Sammy Watkins per se, but I think I don't think he's Tyreek Hill. I don't even think he's a combo of those two guys. Like, I don't know what this Cyrus Allen is going to be like once the real games get started, but it could be just what the entire offense needs. And that's that guy that, you know, Patrick has got the ability to finally rely on when it comes to a wide receiver. And I think it's early, but I think it's fair to say Kelce, Cyrus Allen are two guys now that we have heard and seen and have been discussed as people that he can rely on. I mean, we've heard it all through training camp. He's forming a kind of a partnership, if you will, with Cyrus Allen. They're doing good things together. So I think that's great. I am excited to see him play a little bit tomorrow, but who knows how much these guys are going to play. A guy like Cyrus Allen, a guy like Mason Thomas, a guy like 99, maybe we see them one series too. Who knows how long they decide to play those guys. Again, I wonder how much, if anything, and I think it probably does factor in the heat tomorrow, how that's going to factor in how much playing time a lot of these guys get, what kind of rotation there's going to be to kind of keep everybody fresh.
You have water breaks?
I don't know.
I'm actually honest.
I'm being serious. No, you said that. I'm like,
in the World Cup, they did.
Yeah, but the difference is the defense goes off. They can get rest. The offense, you know, it's not like you're out there that entire time, sub out. And do it. But I don't hate that, you know, but they have commercial breaks already tied in. So
if the guys play less, like Peter Woods, I know you could attribute to the heat, but would you maybe make that a positive? Like, oh, okay, they're playing less, meaning we need to see less, meaning they're going to play. Okay.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I think if you're playing long in preseason games, that's probably not a great thing for you.
I always go back to the first year that Sean Payton was in Denver, and he had Russell Wilson out there until the 2-minute warning in the first half. In the first game against Arizona,
That was a cold cut sign that he did not want you on that team. 2-minute warning in the first playoff preseason game.
He was paying people to target his own quarterback.
That's good. To give a comp, though, I mean, I know Cyrus Allen isn't the size of Sammy Watkins. Cyrus Allen, 5'11", 180. Sammy Watkins was 6'1", 210.
I never pictured Sammy that big, though. That's funny. I always picture these guys 5'8", 5'9", you know?
He's a big boy.
Then you see him in person, you're like, okay, I totally miss you.
Yeah, that checks.
Right, 6'1".
But I do think that is interesting to see because obviously we're going to see Khalil Benson's going to get some playing time.
Mm-hmm. Peter, he has to. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Josh Simmons, I think, has to be trotted out there.
Yeah.
I know he's your first round pick.
I love the
ago.
Term trotted out. I just laugh every time somebody says that.
Yeah.
It just it reminds me just bad Royals just trotting out there.
I mean, that's basically what preseason is. Hey, Josh, you going to go out there for the second series? All right. I guess I'll go out there.
Simmons or Kling?
Kling's out there at all four quarters, man.
Who gets more playing time, Kling or Chris Jones on Saturday?
That's the other thing, too. You get to see the sideline report from Josh Klingler on Saturday's game. So you know they'll go down to him as well.
You mentioned bad Royals. We'll see Jalen Royals and Jacob DeJesus and Andrew Armstrong.
Yeah, a lot of those guys.
For the wide receiver four, five, six.
Yeah. Four blank and six.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't have a fifth.
You don't have a fifth.
You have a fifth wide receiver.
Do you think the Major League Baseball is going to move away from their fifth starter now for Jaden Daniels?
It's funny. Somebody says they always thought Sammy Watkins was bigger than that.
Oh, see, I always thought he was smaller. That's crazy. I love that. We're completely opposite on that. I always thought he was smaller. You always thought he was bigger. It's crazy how the mind works, man.
6'1", 210. That's still, I mean, that's the thing that's interesting about wide receivers, that like, some guys just like play bigger. Like you look at Jamar Chase's like height and weight. I think he's 6'2", 215.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he looks like he's 6'3", 240 on the field.
Yep.
But he literally is like 6'2", 215.
I think when guys are faster, they look smaller. And when they're playing the slot position, they look smaller. When you're playing on the outside, you just look taller, I think. I don't know. That's my perception.
At New Year's Eve now, it's going to be 10-9-8-7-6. JD, 4-3-2-1. Happy New Year. I can't stop. Somebody says they're going to be watching Jeffrey Bosa.
Why?
It's a big one.
I mean,
for linebacker purposes.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, we've talked about the linebacker room.
It's huge on the field for you. Yeah. For Bobby Betts is the linebackers.
I didn't think he'd be the guy that anybody was particularly
watching.
But
that's what preseason is. Yeah. That's why it's so interesting when you think about, you know, when you look at preseason football, that's essentially what you're watching is you're watching guys that can make a difference that maybe you're not thinking about at that moment. And somebody said on the text line earlier, like, what does Cyrus Allen have to do to kind of give that conversation that we keep carrying on this show that there's a battle at number two? Max said by week six, if he does what we think he can do, he could possibly be the number two wide receiver coming out of the bye. For preseason's sake, does he make Justin Fields look good? Because we know what Justin...
That's hard to do.
Well, opportunity lies at your feet, Mr. Allen. And if you can do that, or we all know what will happen, it takes one miraculous catch and it will be revamped over and over and over. I mean, even Jey Uso will be like running it back and have everybody with the yeet thing and all that sort of stuff, because that's what will move the needle for him. And we heard what, you know, Tyrann Mathieu said. We just heard what Steve Smith said. And both of those guys know ball. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be cute there. They actually do. Like, that's one of the best players in Chiefs history for the time that he was here, is Tyrann Mathieu. Completely revamped the defense.
Find somebody who had a more of an impact in a period of time like Tyrann Mathieu did on any team. I mean, people are not going to understand how impactful that guy really was, man.
I mean, some people, because you brought that up earlier, like when you talked about Tyrann Mathieu being the best free agent signing the Chiefs ever had.
Yeah.
Jerry Macklin's calling your phone. And Mitchell Schwartz is calling your phone.
Mitchell Schwartz may call my phone. Macklin's not calling me on that one. I'm out.
He was so good, man. He was so good with Alex Smith.
They were okay. Nothing really stands out for me in that Jeremy Macklin era here. I mean, we've had so much since, you know, I've kind of forgotten.
Typical
quite KU honestly.
Alum over there.
No, it's nothing to do with that. I like J-Mac, but I mean, like, I wouldn't put him, I wouldn't even have considered him. Like, he would never have crossed my mind. Mitchell Schwartz is a good one, but no, I think Tyrann Mathieu was the most important free agent signing the Chiefs have had under Andy Reid as of right now. at the time, at the moment, at the place. Everything was perfect for that Tyrann Mathieu signing. The team and the player were the perfect match for what they needed here. And I think, you know, Kenneth Walker, K-9, he has the opportunity to be that guy for the offense. He has the opportunity to be the offensive addition of Tyrann Mathieu, bringing that piss and vinegar, bringing that anger, bringing that swag. Like, when Tyrann came in here, he acted like he was part of that defense that got shredded against the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. He took ownership right away. You're kind of seeing that with Kenneth Walker as well, taking ownership right away. It's not about what I did in Seattle last year. It's about how are we going to make this offense better and get back to where we need to be. And so I love when players come in and they embrace like they were part of the problem and now they're going to be part of the solution. And that was Tyrann Mathieu's biggest thing. He came in, he acted like he was part of the problem from the year prior and then became the solution. And I think Kenneth Walker could have that same kind of impact on the offense that Tyrann Mathieu had on the defense. And maybe this time next year, we're talking about Kenneth Walker being the guy who is the best free agent signing of the Andy Reid era. As of now, it's still Tyrann because we haven't had a game yet with Kenneth Walker, but he has the ability to be that guy.
Totally agree. Yeah, the not only the discrepancy in what we had last year to this year, but the necessity of needing a run game now for the last 5 or 6 seasons now, needing a guy who can just kind of step up and alleviate some pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. You bring up Jeremy Maclin, it was just random thought. How many 1,000-yard wide receivers have we had since Andy Reid? Not seasons, because I know Tyreek Hill had multiple seasons, but he's one receiver.
One, right?
Maclin.
Did he have 1,000 yards?
Twice.
Yeah. Who was that? Who else was on that team with Jeremy Maclin back then, too?
With the Chiefs, he just did it once.
Yeah, Donnie Avery.
Did it once with the Chiefs. But yeah, he did have almost 1,100 yards with the Chiefs. That is, as long as I'm not forgetting anyone.
2014.
That was also the
2015,
year they didn't have
2015. 2014, he was on the Eagles, and he had 1,300 yards with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then joined us almost 1,100. But yeah, I
see the problem.
Unless I'm forgetting somebody, but that's incredible.
No, that's it. There's nobody else. Yeah, there's nobody else as a under Andy Reid. I don't think we've had 1,000-yard from a wide. Obviously, Travis.
Yeah, just wide receiver. Those are the two names, and then hopefully Rashee Rice this season. Yeah. Those are the two names.
What if it's Cyrus Allen? What if Cyrus Allen ends up being your leading receiver this
year?
Please,
great. Found our Puka.
If I tell
then
you,
Brett Veach has a statue next year.
Yeah, if I. But what would be your first question to me if I said to you right now? At the end of the year, Cyrus Allen will lead this team in receiving. What is your first question to me?
Did Rice do something or get hurt?
See, that's where I would be. What did Rice do? What if I told you Rice had had a great season as well, just wasn't the leading receiver for this team?
Did Brett Veach get an extension? Is my next question.
Yeah, because you find a 5th-round Puka Nacua wide receiver. I mean,
it's what we're needing.
Yeah.
And if Peter Woods is good, if Montour Lane, if this is his rebirth of 2022 draft for Brett Veach, then great.
Then we don't have another GM until Patrick Mahomes is gone.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. He solidified himself.
Well, if I'm Brett, honestly, this is what I would do. I'm out when Andy goes. Yeah.
See ya. I hope not.
No, I don't want to do this Brady or Belichick thing. Right? I'll be out when Andy goes. I ain't sticking around after this.
Because what is Brett? 44?
He's younger than I am. So yeah,
Wow.
Yeah, early 40s. Yeah,
48.
Okay.
So he's 48. Is
one
he?
Year.
So 1 year younger than me.
Mm-hmm. You guys just became really good friends.
Wow. I thought he was much younger. Well, I mean, my chest is getting there, Brett. We're gonna have a chest measuring contest here real soon.
Live on Instagram.
We should do it live on Instagram. I mean, no, he's got a barrel chest. You've heard me talk about Brett's chest.
It's a liner.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
As it should be.
Most underrated chest out there, right?
Yes.
But I'm going to catch Brett Veach when it comes to best chests in Kansas City.
Okay. Are we putting a timeline
on
that?
Should we do a calendar? Best dudes chests in Kansas City? I'll be the cover art.
Yeah, you can do.
Brett Veach. Who else would be on that? I think just the two of us.
I think I'll pass on that one. I can't hold my own weight in that.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I'm trying, man. Trying.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
Hey, it took me almost a 50 to start lifting weights and getting serious about it.
I don't have a chest. I have like a dresser. humble. Straight facts. I think the Ken Walker sign makes sense for Kansas City more than other people want to say that it does, because they didn't run the ball effectively, and let alone they didn't allow people to trust them that they would run the ball. And, you know, to give it an analogy of life, I think that you might have something that your house needs that your neighbor doesn't. And he might say, why do you have that? And you're like, dude, I get shade on this side of my house, so I need this tent. It's expensive, but I needed it to keep me outside longer to enjoy my summer evenings, whereas the sun might not hit his yard at that point. So to him, that was a dumb buy. But for you, it was really smart.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You are going to use that, and it's going to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like a team like, I don't know, Detroit, who said, Dave Montgomery, we're no longer going to need you. We're going to go get Ken Walker. That wouldn't make sense because you have Jahmyr Gibbs. Atlanta being like, hey, we've always ran two running backs with Bijan Robinson and Allgeier. Now what we're going to do is we're going to bring in Ken Walker. Well, that doesn't make sense
because you
have a featured running back and everybody knows you're going to run the ball. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming off Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which, whether we like it or not, was a failed experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off of Isaiah Pacheco, that once the leg snapped, it never was the same.
Yeah, it was
and
over.
Then everybody just, as Bucky Brooks had reported earlier this week, everybody just sat back in a two shell and said, you know what, Mahomes still underneath. We don't trust Xavier Worthy to make a big play. Rashee Rice isn't going to be here till week 7. Mm-hmm. We know you can't throw it deep, so we're just going to force you to dink and dunk. Well, when you can do that and you're not going to run the ball, it gives everybody an extended way to look at your offense. And now with Ken Walker joining the team, you have a reason to make people believe in what you're going to do.
Look, you gave the defense such an easy out last year. We're not going to even worry about the run. If they beat us with the run, then they beat us with the run. There's nothing we can do about that, but they're not going to beat us with the run. So all we're going to concentrate is on the pass. And you gave the defenses last year such an opportunity to beat you, such an easy opportunity to beat you. Now you've got this player in here at a position that you didn't have for the last 2 years, and now it becomes a lot more difficult for defenses to game plan against you. You're keeping these people up during the week now, which is a good thing, which we haven't had since the early days of Mahomes.
To give you an example, look what the Chiefs did in the Super Bowl against Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, they got Saquon Barkley, who's having MVP season, 2,000 yards. We got to stop Saquon Barkley. 54 yards rushing, Jalen Hurts beat you.
Beat you. Get bent.
Spent too much time focused on that running back. Didn't think Jalen Hurts would beat you. Thing is, you have Patrick Mahomes, not Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Coming up on the other side, we get into our Richards of the Week and wrap up this show on a Friday here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
That's right. It's the end of a Friday, which means we do Richard of the Week. Drew Nixon's flirting. It's his 3-year anniversary, so I won't ruin his third year. In 2 years, it's going to have to be skipped.
Yep.
Because you can't have your 5th-year anniversary. Somebody said, hey, Dusty, Mahomes had to change his jersey to 14 thanks to Jaden Daniels. No, this should tell Dan Orlovsky that the vision Patrick Mahomes has is great. Because he was 5 in college, and he knew this guy was going to come around and ruin the day, so he went to 15. My Richard of the Week comes from the Little League World Series and a guy by the name of Sean Simpson. Now, Sean Baum, I'm not talking about you. You're a best friend of mine, and I love you to death, but this guy is the umpire.
No, sir. Back-to-back K's. Number 7 for Boone.
Doesn't look like the North Oldham. Oh, boy.
Matthew Teague has been ejected from the game by home plate umpire Sean Simpson.
So to give reference to the video, and I don't know if the coach had been heckling the umpire throughout the game, but in this moment, the pitcher that threw the pitch throws a ball outside. It's not a strike. And I understand that the strike zone in the Little League World Series is very large because they have to expedite the game, otherwise they'd be there forever. I understand that, but a little bit more accuracy would be nice. You can hear the umpire in the video go, stop. And he at that point, he's made the game about him. So the coach comes out, and he's getting ready to talk to his player who's getting ready to come to the batter's box because the guy before him had just struck out. The umpire, Sean Simpson, goes, stop, with his hand. Okay, right there, you don't need to do that. You're making a scene, right? You've got children. When they get crazy sometimes, you're like, relax. You're making a scene. When you just tone it down.
Sometimes you just let them burn themselves out.
Which is fair. And so the coach is walking up to the kid in the on-deck circle, and the guy's like, stop, like telling him he can't come any more further. And he goes, I'm not even going towards the batter's box. Boom. Ejected. Richard move, man. Like, I understand. I don't know the full details of before the game, but the guy was going to consult with his team or his player before he goes into the batter's box. Like, hey, here's maybe what the pitch is doing. And before he can get even one more step to him, the umpire gives him the hand halt. And then ejects him after all he says is, I'm not even going to the batter's box. and kicks him out of a game in Little League World Series. Again, making it all about him. This umpire, Sean Simpson, is Dusty Likens' Richard of the Week.
I'd love to know more about that one, too. And, you know, has this guy been harassed? Because I remember when I was umpiring Little League Baseball, I tossed a coach one time. And I tossed him. He started arguing with me. I'm like, I've had enough. Like, every game, people are arguing. It's parents. It's all that kind of stuff. So I wonder where he was. I'd love to know the entire kind of reasoning why, and if they correct it and say, you know, I don't know if you have to serve a suspension in Little League Baseball after you get ejected like some other sports you do. So hopefully they can correct all that, because it's the Little League World Series, man. Let's not be kicking coaches out as they're trying to coach these kids in the biggest moments of their lives, too.
Real quickly, baseball news. Yeah. 2028, the Giants are going to be the official home of the All-Star game.
Okay.
So next year is the Cubs.
Oh, cool.
28 is the Giants. 29, it's expected, not yet, but it's supposed to be the Blue Jays. 2030, the Orioles. Mm-hmm. Kind of wonder if the Royal Stadium is involved.
If it's done, 2031. Yeah.
Those next year.
Yeah. So that would be awesome.
Could you imagine?
Yes.
Could you imagine? The All-Star game was fun here. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, it was good time.
Trumbo put one on top of the...
I'm not even talking about the game. I'm just talking about everything that went around with it.
Yeah, having that event here would be awesome. Yeah.
And it was like 2012. It was like the awakening of what was about to come.
What
and
was then about was the beginning of everything.
So
in
in 2028, the All-Star game will be at Oracle Park, which will be a fun sight to see because obviously McCovey Cove and that beautiful stadium.
That's awesome. My Richard of the Week goes to a lady from West Virginia. Shockingly, the
mountain
story
mama,
comes
huh?
from. Yeah, exactly. She is a mountain mama. Yeah, there's no question. West Virginia authorities say a woman has been arrested after a child jumped out of a second-story apartment window and then tested positive for cocaine. According to the sheriff's office, Stevie Thibodeau, 30, has been charged with child neglect, serious injury, or death. Deputies say they responded to a Unity Terrace apartment complex on Monday after receiving word about a child jumping out of a window. Police went up there and talked to the mother. The child was then taken to the hospital, and they found out that the child had tested positive for cocaine. The child was 6 years old.
Golly.
Wow.
That's awful. That's so sad.
You didn't have to snort right there.
I know, I know, but I know it was itching like,
yeah. You getting some urges?
Yeah. I'm just thinking about how many people struggle to have children and want to have children that would be such great parents, and then this person who is obviously
that's
a piece
insane.
Of trash
Gosh.
Is able to have kids. You know, I hate that so much because so many people that would be good parents aren't able to have children, and people that are just trash like that are able to have children and seemingly as many as they want, and they get them high on cocaine and they jump out the window.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
That's tragic, man. Malpractice as a parent, and that's even generous to say malpractice.
Yeah, it's just you're not fit to be a parent.
No, exactly. Yeah, you shouldn't be. Yeah, have this duty. Oh, man, that makes me sad. On a little bit lighter of a note, I'll go Jaden Daniels' mom.
Oh, okay, what did she do?
Well, Jaden Daniels, the Richard S. of the week. Yeah, I will say Jaden Daniels obviously is the responsible one for this, right? At the end of the day, he's a grown-ass man. But at the end of the day, if you're Jaden Daniels' mom, you've put yourself in the position in front of all national eyes that you are going to be by his side, you're going to be running his agency, you're going to be running his team, you're going to be making these decisions, you're going to lead him in the right direction. Well, if you kind of put yourself on that pedestal, what the hell are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? Because we know where you are. You're right next to Jaden Daniels at all time, whether it's practice, whether
it's
a game.
Look at me.
Yeah. We know you were a part of this. So as the, he's 25, you're in your 40s. Let's go. Where were you on this? So I'm still holding Jaden Daniels responsible.
Oh, she was right there probably saying this was the right thing to do.
We
got to
do this, pushing forward.
Was that photo AI'd? Because I don't know, there was like of him and his mom at the end of practice sitting at the end of the field. Because I know they had the Madison beer.
There's something going on. I read this morning there's an ad campaign coming. That's why they have all the girlfriends out on the field with the quarterbacks. There's some sort of ad campaign coming, is what I read this morning about that.
I did see the AI photo of his mom tucking him.
Yeah, that was funny.
You know how times evolve. We went from its Photoshop to its AI.
Yeah, I saw that tweet the other day too. It's like, we've changed.
Man, yeah, you're not wrong, though, man. You're not wrong.
Yeah, still holding them responsible. I'm not saying he gets off scot-free, but, I mean, my gosh, if you put yourself in this situation as the mom, you let us know that you're in charge, you're there, you're all... Then where were you?
Yeah, where were you in all of this?
You're in commercials with him, my gosh.
Yeah, because what you have done now single-handedly is you've ruined this guy's reputation, really. I mean, he ruined his own reputation, okay? He's the adult in all of this. And look, when I was 25 years old, my mommy was not making decisions for me.
She tried.
And then you'd say, no, stop. Well,
but no, she didn't. Like, eventually you let go, you know, because my daughter said to me the other day, she's like, are you going to be tracking us, you know, when we're at college? I go, no. I'm just finding out where you are at this point in time. We're not going to be using Life 360 on you every 10 minutes when you're at wherever school trying to figure out what's going on. But it is your job of a parent to kind of lead your child in the right direction. But eventually, you got to set your child free. And at 25 years old, I hate to be this guy, if you're still taking, you know, orders from mommy at that point in time, that says a lot about you, too.
That's rough.
Like, you can have a great relationship and talk to your parents, obviously, for advice, no question. But if you're letting mommy make your decisions at 25, that doesn't say a lot about you. How are you going to lead a locker room of men when mommy's leading you still?
My mom doesn't want me to date you.
You're grown, bro.
Yeah. Well,
that's gonna. He's going to struggle with relationships, man. Yeah, having your mom like that's gonna. It's gonna be hard.
And here we thought New England was gonna have the toughest regular season. Jane Daniels says, "Hang on."
Hey, Jane Daniels says, "Hold my beer, man." Like, yeah,
mom,
here's
hold
what we're
this.
Gonna do. Yeah.
And on that note. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Try the Tom Hanks cocktail. Apparently, it's Prosecco and Diet Coke. I'm going to check it out. Have a good weekend. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay groovy, stay nice, stay hydrated. Enjoy those Chiefs on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Again, Chiefs on 96.5 The Fan, the Royals on 610 a.m. on Saturday. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden-Drew, and Alex has his head back. It's no longer headless Alex. They come on in 4 minutes, not 5, because that's Jaden Daniels' time. Cheers to the weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.